listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, a lot of electricity going to be around the second Battle of Ohio this year as Johnny Manziel steps in to man the ship to trigger the offense for the Cleveland Browns. And it's an offense, as we've stated, as we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, that has been sagging, lagging, not productive, and has not taken advantage of 22 turnovers that the defense has given them during the course of this offensive sag, in which just three touchdowns have been produced. 216-578-0850. Matt Wilhelms here. I'm Michael Regei. Let's go. We head to the west side of the Buckeye State. Big Browns Nation contingent in Lima. We welcome Pat to the show. What's happening, Patrick?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
And Michael Regei, man, it's great to be able to talk with you, my former Lima man.
My pleasure, buddy. Yeah, one of my first stops right in my career. Love Lima Town.
I'll tell Vince Cozy you said hi.
I talk to Vince every week on his show. We talk Browns, yeah.
That's great. Hey, so some comments about this the game this past Sunday. You know, I actually called the show last week and, gave my prediction for the game. I wasn't really feeling very good about Brian, and unfortunately, I was proven right in that game. You know, just watching that game, just more and more, I felt he just wasn't able to get it done, and it's just a really sad end. So I think, you know, Brian did a whole lot for this team, you know, early on, and it's just a sad way where he had to go. But, you know, as Browns fans, we just know that's going to happen. We have to, you know, we have to persevere, keep going on, see who the next guy up is. And, you know, I have some high hopes for Johnny, but we'll see what he can do in these last three games. But,
you're absolutely right. I think it's tough that there's been a changing of the guard because I'm sure Mike Pettine would have hoped that the person that he deemed to start, the same way that he made a comment about my intention to start Brian Hoyer in that Colts game is for him to us to win the football game and finish that football game and not be on any type of leash. I'm sure that was a microcosm of his football season. He wanted to make a decision. He was very definitive with Brian Hoyer and his capability as a quarterback. And I'm sure in his gut, he wanted him to finish, which is maybe why he gave him that Colts start and give him an opportunity to right the ship, but he did not. And again, a change in the guard has happened, and I think in some cases there'll be some new life breathed into this locker room, new life, hopefully maybe that spark that everybody talks about that Johnny Manziel will bring.
Yeah, and Matt, I've said this many, many times, but I'm going to repeat it again. Look, you know, I got a couple of Twitter questions today, and as I was downstairs, and I went to the first few minutes of practice and was there as Mike Pettine, as you just heard, spoke to the media. I've said this many times, Brian Hoyer completely understands what this is all about. He realizes, man, how many times we've talked about, unless your name is Brady, Manning, Rodgers, Breeze, Roethlisberger, you get it, get where I'm going here, you know, Flacco, maybe Stafford, and the ilk, Philip Rivers. Man, if you cannot afford as a quarterback to have faulty, sporadic play for too many games in succession because your job is going to depend on it. Brian, I completely feel good about saying that Brian Hoyer understands that full well. It's been a microcosm of his career. Got his opportunity. The fact of the matter is, I think he played well to very solid through the first nine football games. I mean, I'm not a big numbers guy, but the numbers suggest that. The last four have not been anywhere near the productivity necessary to maintain your position as a starting quarterback of an NFL team. Brian understands that. He knows that. Heard you talk about the same thing when you felt like maybe as your career in San Diego. I heard you say it yesterday, and I was very, you know, riveted on you speaking so candidly about being entitled and
comfortable.
Feeling that, yeah, you have this feeling of comfortability. And then when your play starts to wane, we all know when our play starts to wane.
Right.
Right?
You're absolutely right. And I think more so than anything, and again, all we can do for those of you out there who potentially know Brian Hoyer personally, you might know more. But I guess for me on our side, it's you hear it in his comments. And then, in fact, if he truly did treasure his opportunity to play for the team that he rooted for. He really does want this group and this organization to do well. And in this case, what does it mean? It means continually being ready because you have a rookie quarterback who has not taken a bulk of snaps in the National Football League. So whether it be injury or lack of production or he has to miss a snap for some reason, the shoe comes untied, who knows? Brian will be ready, and he will do whatever it takes to help in within his role, either as a backup, but also more so as a leader or the former leader and quarterback of this football team to see through that everyone stays hungry and finishes the season on a high note.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, virtually it's the only way to go. And listen, as we always talk about, you know, there's tape going to be out there for every move you make on a practice field or under game conditions. And the bottom line is, you know, I doubt that at just turning 29 years of age, whether it's here or somewhere else, Brian Hoyer wants to call it a career right now.
No, absolutely not.
So he's going to have to – again, no one knows this more than him.
Sure.
He's going to have to put his best foot forward in everything he does.
He will.
And I'm very confident that he's going to.
I do, too. And I think, and again, based on his words, his expectations to secure a long-term contract as the Cleveland Browns quarterback of the future does not, now that it may potentially be in question. That may not be there any longer. But that doesn't mean that, you know, that being said, it's Brian, from his words, felt like he had 5 years left of playing at a top level in the National Football League. Yep. It may be here, but that 5 years may be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, only Brian can answer. It appears, again, and I've seen him since he's literally been about 14 years old, you know, up through going into high school, playing here around Cleveland, going through high school and then into college. And it appears to me that there was some confidence lost. There has been a hesitancy of late, and there's just been an uncomfortability that I guess, obviously, we did not see. We saw anything but we saw someone through those first 9 football games at 6-3 and what, with 10 touchdowns and 4 picks and a QB rating of 91, I believe, that was anything but confidence shaken and unnerved by certain situations going around him, because it certainly wasn't that way in his play.
No, it was not. And I think it's a difficult situation, and that's why those at the quarterback position in the National Football League get paid so handsomely. Once you prove your value and that you can take the mental, emotional, and physical scrutiny and damage that can be done as that position in this National Football League, is why there's such a premium on those dollars centered around one position.
Yeah, well, amen. True words, very, very well spoken there. All right, so now Johnny Manziel gets an opportunity, and some of the questions we have, Matt and I got into this a little bit last Wednesday and Thursday, you know, the scope of the offense. Mike Pettine says it radically does not need to change. It won't change, but I think we all can agree that there's going to be some different dynamics parameters here. We'll get into that in a second. For now, let's welcome John, who's been waiting patiently, driving around in a car phone around Browns Nation. What's going on, John?
Hey, fellas. I got the good, the bad, and the I wish, okay?
All right, hit us with it.
The good. This, if we're not giving a Pettine the absolute pat on the back for how he's handled this whole situation, we're crazy. And I think we are, and I don't think anybody's saying differently. But the idea that he's managed this quarterback situation and the team, the Browns finally look like a football team. There's no, like, 7 guys on the right side of the ball and, you know, Madden football. It's a normal football team, and we're actually kind of decent, right? So Cleveland Browns fans are feeling pretty good.
Yes, they are.
7-6 would say, yes, you're a decent football team.
Okay, yeah. Hit us with the bad.
The bad. Can someone please get LeBron's, you know, committee who put him together to come back to Cleveland to deal with Manziel and the cash money stuff? He needs to recognize that Cleveland is the same kind of town where Pettine came from, this Pittsburgh working-class town, this idea that, you know, you got to kind of work for what you get for, and it's not, you know, it's not really high and flashy in style, although the Cavs games will tell you differently. But the idea that he's a working class guy. Now, whoever got to him in terms of his you know, quotes and references this year. So, you know, I like the Haslam.
But John, you know, now that's all part of the persona. That's all part of what he's been.
It drives
and
me
what he does.
Crazy.
You don't like it.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. You're not alone.
I know. That's why I said it.
So John, why don't you hit us with the I wish now?
The I wish. I wish Hoyer had a full team like some of the quarterbacks you said before, when they were growing up and becoming the quarterbacks where they were kind of untouchable, had. They had the full complement of the line that stayed together and the receivers that stayed together and the back that could get 5 and 6 yards when you need it. That's what I wish Hoyer had that, because I think, for what it's worth, you know, a couple of throws here and there, quite frankly, and he's still the quarterback of this team.
Possibly. You know, and John, you know, appreciate the call. A lot of good premises there. The thing, though, with regard to that is when I put those guys' names out there, I'm speaking of these are the elite. Now, even they, you know, if you have a couple of bad football games, they're going to hear the murmurs, especially.
Absolutely.
Look what happened after that Kansas City game.
Yeah.
After New England, their fourth game of the year, went
they're
to
done.
Two.
Brady's
yeah,
washed up.
People saying Brady's done. And then his next 5-9 football games, he threw 18 touchdowns with one interception and 1-8 straight next 8 football games.
Sure.
So, you know, who knows? But I'm not suggesting, and I'm not going to, that Brian's talent level is not what those are.
Correct.
But as we know, again, he didn't play well enough to hold the job. I mean, that's the bottom line. The offense has taken a drastic, into like pulling that gear shift into reverse, and it's gone back down the hill in the wrong direction.
Right, and I think in this point, it's a bigger story than it was. And if you know, I got to watch a little bit of First Take this morning, and Stephen A. and Skip Bayless got a chance to talk about it. But the story in for a while, but this one point briefly, that if it's anybody but Johnny Manziel, Cleveland may hit, you know, the ESPN blotter, but it's not going to be segment after segment after segment about the Cleveland Browns and the quarterback position. And it would just be a change that had been made. It hit all sources, but then it would fade away until game day. But because it is the personality that is Johnny Manziel, it's the story that it is. And there's the intrigue centered around it, because I don't think the Manziel clan out there, there wouldn't be a Bridgewater clan. There wouldn't be a Bortles clan. There wouldn't be a Carr clan. It would be the next guy in line.
Right.
It's just who Johnny was in college. People are looking for that same thing to be on the football
field on
Sunday.
Well, that's why I said that to John, our last caller. It's that, you know, this persona and this entire Manziel buildup that became somewhat larger than life.
Yes.
In College Station, that's not just going to subside.
No,
that's
going
to follow him to the NFL. And that's exactly what it did. Now, Marvin Lewis is responsible for preparing his Cincinnati. Been an interesting week for the veteran head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals with Marvin Lewis. Want you to hear a few comments from today. Little John Rinaldi from Fox 8 was there, Matt Wilhelm.
Yes, he was, but we're going to get to one first. We're going to say, Coach Marvin Lewis, did you think that you gave Johnny Manziel any bulletin board material with your comments the other evening?
You know, my comment on the radio was not a very good comment. It was stupid. But and I think we've addressed that, you know, thoroughly. But, you know, it is an important football game, regardless of that. And, you know, it's going to come down to playing football, winning and playing football. And I don't get to play. Johnny does. And so we're going to, you know, both teams are going to come out there and play, and it means a lot to both football teams.
Look, I've always liked Marvin Lewis very, very much, going back to when he was the D.C. of the Baltimore Ravens, class guy. All right, he had a bad moment. He used a bad choice of words. I get it, because it's here in Cleveland. If he would have said that, though, about the Tennessee Titans quarterback, nobody here would have said a word.
Right.
Nobody here would have said a word. Just one of those things, right? Because it hits close to home. Now, I mentioned earlier.
How close? Tell us how close it hit.
It hit real close, because the kid was the number one draft pick here and going to make his first start as a quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And we know Clevelanders, you're going to say something bad about somebody that everybody's rallying around, you're going to get your butt jumped on.
That's right.
And Marvin Lewis did. He's apologized profusely, as Mike Patton said. All right, so Little John Rinaldi is there. And again, I think it was a stroke of genius.
We sent ammunition down.
And little John, he didn't take Big Chuck with him, but Little John went to Cincinnati to sit right there in the front row right there. And I got to believe that that caught Marvin Lewis a little bit unawares, although maybe somebody said to him, hey, there's this guy from Cleveland that's coming down that wants got a media credential. And, coach, by the way,
he's not too tall.
He's a little person, and you should probably Anyway, Marvin Lewis, did you apologize to our guy Little John Rinaldi directly for the comments you made the other night?
I did not apologize directly to him, but, yes, the gentleman asked a couple questions and, you know, I guess doing his job. So I think I hopefully answered them correctly.
And again, all in good fun.
Yes.
And the Battle of Ohio, we've got to keep it fresh and keep it relevant. And, again, I do think it was an odd comment from a senior-type tenured head football coach in the National Football League. But back to football. We're going to hear more from Marvin Lewis. He's going to talk to us here about the matchup that we all keep our eyes on every time the Bengals and Browns get together, which is Joe Haden covering A.J. Green.
Joe's got just great transition, great feet, great length. He plays fearless, and, you know, I really thought those were the qualities that, you know, he had coming out of Florida. And, you know, I'm one of his biggest supporters here. I see him every week in and week out, so I know he's a very, very good player.
Coach Lewis, I tweeted out Sunday, Joe Haden is playing at an off-the-charts level
right
now. And, you know, right after I did that, you know, again, he kind of was playing press man and kind of slipped a little bit as he opened his hips, and that's when T.Y. Hilton went by him. It turned into almost like a stop fade on the sideline, but it went for the touchdown. But Haden has been playing at a phenomenal level. Marvin Lewis was also asked about the Browns secondary as a whole, Justin Gilbert and Kaywan Williams, Jimmy Leonard
in screen
to Sean Gibson. Yeah, these guys, and how well that they've played lately.
They're really doing a great job of playing man coverage, and technically they're playing very, very sound. I think Buster Skrines is doing a great job. They've done a nice job. Their safeties all can cover, and so they're being able to match up that way. They're doing a good job schematically as well. So they're really playing defense very, very good, and you can see that in the numbers since we played them.
Very strong job, and, of course, the head coach of the next opponent recognizing that. So that's Marvin Lewis having a little bit of fun. You heard some of the, maybe still some regret in his voice, but terrific that Little John Rinaldi from Fox 8 was in Cincy today. All right, give us a timeout. Matt and I will come back and put a big bow on this. We'll try to sneak some more in with you. We'll try. We'll get discuss the scope of the Browns offense in the time we have left with Johnny Manziel at the trigger, and maybe some thoughts I have and that maybe Matt will back up or not or refute. That's always good to go. More coming up. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're back in a minute.